tolls. It tolls for the... No. Good morning! Good morning. Welcome home!
It's good to be home.
And it's good to be home on Easter, and glad you're here with us. Just want to quickly give us some announcements as we begin our service. If you have prayer needs or prayer requests, we always have what are called next step cards. And sometimes you think that these are only for doodling when you're not listening to the pastor. But no, we do use them. So what you do is you fill out your name, and if you need something from us, if you want to know more about our church, if you want to know more about ministry, if you want to get involved in some way, you can check off the options that are on the back. Or if you have a prayer request that you would like us to pray for or put into our prayer sheet, you write that down, then slip that in the giving box out there, and that will always find its way to me. Want to also thank those who covered us in prayer this week. This week was a special week where we do 24/7, 24 hours, 7 days a week, people in prayer. We had people sign up every hour of the day and night, and we had continuous prayer going all week from last Sunday till this morning. And I'm praying that God will show off and do some great things. And we also want to thank you for the way that you served the Lord this week. We had those who participated in our Thursday night service, which was our Monday Thursday. Do we know what Monday means now? Anybody remember? Anybody besides Pastor remember? Yeah, it's the commandment. This is the new commandment I give you, to love one another, and even as I have loved you. And so we had a wonderful service, and everybody who participated in that, thank you. Also, we had an egg hunt yesterday. My goodness, I've never seen an egg hunt with so many eggs that the kids were giving up and just walking in and counting their eggs, and they left eggs out there. And I had fun with that because we had them inside, and we shared the gospel with everybody. And I told the kids, okay, when the mowers are done mowing the lawn and spreading your eggs all over the place, then we're going to go out and try to gather them up again. But and one person really believed me. No, you didn't really mow up our eggs, did you? No, we didn't. And thanks to the guys who helped us with the breakfast this morning. Were you here for the breakfast? Did you enjoy that? Awesome. I want to thank you for those things. We have a new ministry called Divorce Care that is happening. And we would like, if you're interested and you're going through difficult times right now, it's for everybody. Everybody who's going through those situations, it's a ministry of teaching you how to forgive, how to cope with anger. There are a whole lot of subjects for that, and we want you to join us. It starts April 3rd, which is this Wednesday night, and so it's coming up fast, and be praying for that. There's a work day for New Life Island on April 6th, beginning at 9 a.m. Lunch will be provided. Contact their office if you're interested, and for those of you who know, that's a Christian camp right down on the Delaware River, and We Jordan prays with us, with pastors that gather on Tuesday mornings, and he's doing a great work and a great ministry there. So keep them in prayer. PCBC is doing a spring cleanup Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 6th, and we're going to concentrate mostly on what's going on inside the building. So there are a bunch of jobs that are out on that bulletin board. If you want to come, I think it's from 9, correct me if I'm wrong, is it from 9 to noon? Well, it's 9 to noon now. So you come, we'll have the doors unlocked, and you come in, and if you don't find somebody, there should be people around. If you don't find somebody but you want something to do, you look on that list. Oh, I can do that if somebody hasn't already checked it off. And you can help us out in any way. And we have cleaning supplies, but if you have the... Tim Allen Manly Men vacuums that you want to bring, you know, you can bring your own vacuum, and you can help us out in the cleanup. But I do want to give you a heads up. Towards the Saturday, towards the end of the month, we're going to have a Manly Men grill out, work outside day. And that's going to be open for everybody who wants to come. And they're going to be doing some outdoor projects that the deacons are putting together. And if you would like to be a part of that, you come hungry, because it's going to be more than just a work time. It's going to be a good fellowship time. Next Saturday or Sunday is our communion time. And so we're looking forward to that. And a few other things that I'm glad to announce. We have been praying for our church and our plans. And we've got communication this week that Naka Mixon is voting to okay our plans this Tuesday night, April 2nd, up at the Naka Mixon Township building at 7:30. And it's open to all members of the Naka Mixon community who want to come and just be supportive. And if I'm asking you, if you have the time that night to be there, would you? Because we want them to know that God is working in great ways, and we just want to thank Him for that. Oh, let us stand, and we're going to begin our worship this morning. There is a reading on the back of your bulletin if you are the kind of person that needs to have that in front of you. We're also going to project it on the screens. And this is a responsive reading for Resurrection Morning. So let's shout it out, and let's have alacrity and aliveness in our reading. Because I think the things that drive me nuts are when you hear, "Happy welcome Easter morning," you know. Welcome! Happy Resurrection Morning. As we look back at the first Resurrection Day, we're reminded of the despair which those first seekers had arriving at the tomb. Their fear and confusion turned to joy. The message of the angel said, "Come, look where He lay. Go tell others that He is risen, just as He said." The resurrection gives us a message of joy. Our sins are forgiven, and we raise our voices today and say, good. You believe it. Thanks be to God. Welcome, happy Resurrection Morning. As we gather here on this present Resurrection Day, we are reminded of the power of sin which has been broken. We have died with Christ, and we have risen with Him, as Romans 6 proclaims. Hell is conquered. Heaven is the victor today. Sin no longer our master. We have a new life in Christ. The resurrection gives us a message of change. Our sins are vanquished, and we raise our voices today. Alive. 'Tis true. Hallelujah.
Christ is risen indeed. Our Savior gives us new power and strength. Thanks be to God.
Welcome, happy Resurrection Morning. We look forward to that day when we gather with our loved ones. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Then we shall be caught up together." The resurrection gives us a message of hope, for tomorrow we shall be comforted and see our loved ones again. And then we shall shout, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" Alive, 'tis true. Hallelujah! Christ is risen indeed. Our Savior gives hope. Thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning, church. Okay, true confessions. I am not a morning person, and I was up at 5:30 this morning. Pastor was up at 4, 5, I don't know. That was a big deal for me, but you guess what? God rewarded it. About 5:45, I heard the first bird. And he wasn't close to my house. And he was loud. So when we sing this morning, let's sing like that first bird this morning.
Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day. Christ on the road to the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all
Patrick, if you'd bring up the slides for me, the announcement slides. So what is God doing in your life this week? Have you been watching for God's sightings? Have you been watching for His working and answering to prayer in your life? Do you know, next Sunday, we're going to have communion again. And I want to prepare you ahead of time. So this is me warning you. If you had God sightings, we are dedicating the whole service to God sightings, telling on God, telling, bragging on Him. Remember, it says, I will boast in nothing but the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's not a brag session about us. It's a brag session on, hey, I saw God working. And if you saw God working, I want you to gather up those workings in your heart, because we're going to give opportunity for you to express them. I want to kind of get you ready. What kinds of things can you be thinking about? Well, here's one. Ah, my clicker's not working, Patrick. Okay, here's one. How many of you were here on... Do you like our painting? Our painting of the Last Supper? Isn't that great? Well, this, you know, this was a God sighting for me, because I would have never guessed that that rabble of those guys would serve the Lord like that. And they did. And they got up there and they, man, I tell you, their part was just wonderful. I just really appreciated everything that they did and shared. And we had almost 100 people here on Thursday night. And it was just, for me, it was a God sighting, because it was people being willing to be used of the Lord. And they're the kind of God sightings we're looking for. If you see God working in someone's heart in that way, or you God using somebody in some way, you show that as a God sighting. Here's another God sighting. These lucky winners of our egg hunt, I think Maya had the most eggs. Do you remember how many it was? 74 eggs. I'm telling you, they were hopping. And I couldn't believe that. I was telling the truth. So we'll show you more pictures of that next week. But there was a God sighting in that, because we had a whole lot of folks from our community come, and they heard the gospel. And my God moment was when we were all sitting here, and Lori asked what the colors of the eggs mean for the gospel. She started out with gold, and then she went to sin, black, and then she went to red, and the kids are just yelling out, "Jesus died for us!" And boy, I tell you, that just was a blessing to my heart. Out of the mouths of kids. Sometimes we get a little scared. Sometimes we get a little, but yet those kids, they just were yelling it out. And that's a God sighting for me. Speaking of that, I gotta do this. I gotta go back to the night that we did this. When Zach, who was playing Jesus, took the actual bread and he started breaking it up and he says, "Take, this is my body." I heard this little voice from the back go, "Wait a minute, I'm hungry. Where's mine?" That was a blessing. That's a God sighting. So with ways that you see God working in hearts, ways that you see, and here's another God sighting. Charlie came home. If you know the story of Charlie, Charlie was, when Alini was pregnant with Charlie, I'm just real quick going to bring everybody up to speed, because not everybody knows. She was about 20 weeks, I think, and it was below viability for Charlie to be born and make it. And she had a breach in her embryonic fluid, which is called POM syndrome. And they were telling us, there's no way we can save the baby. You need to abort the baby, or we can induce right now for the baby to come and the baby's going to die, or you're going to go home and you're going to develop sickness and you're going to die, Lena. And so that's the options we had. Wow. And they, by faith, went to the doctors the next day and they said, we know that the odds are against us. It's like a less than 20% that the baby's going to survive and get through this. And we know that the odds are against us, but we're just praying that you can get us to where Charlie is born. And he was born at 30 weeks, and he's been in the hospital, and they told us that he's got to stay in the hospital to at least until his due date, which was April, the middle of April. And they themselves were amazed when Charlie went home yesterday. I mean, God is so good, isn't he? He is good. He's our miracle baby, and God gets all the glory and all the credit for it. And so let's bow before the Lord and thank him this Easter morning. Father of truth, we thank you this resurrection morning. We offer our praise. I think of the psalmist who said, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. When I consider the heavens, the works of thy hands, the moon and the stars and the sky above, what is man that you even consider him? What is man that you even think of him? What is man? Who are we that you even care about us?" And yet you do. That you sent your son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, not just to be the resurrection and the life, but to be our everything. He came as our redeemer. He came as our payment. He came as our help. He came as our rescuer. He came as the atonement. He came as our love and true grace. He entered our world and became God amongst us. We praise you, God, that he is the way and the truth and the life, and that he gives life to us. Father, we just praise your name for all that our Savior is. And all week as we've been thinking about the resurrection story and the passion of Christ and the events of the Last Supper, and we've been celebrating in many ways what it means to have our sins cleansed and washed. Oh, Lord, I just kept thinking of this favorite old hymn that says this: "Near the cross, bring its scenes before me. May I live day to day with its shadow over me. Near the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond that river. Father, I thank you that you showed us yourself in doing great, mighty things. And you answered prayer, and you did things that we in our own power and our own achievement couldn't do. And Father, we praise you this morning as we are here today to witness, to cry out. We believe and thank God for saving our very souls. Father, as a church, help us to be that courageous witness along the 611 corridor. Bless everyone as they come in here today. Father, I pray that you would draw near to us and that we would leave here changed and that the Spirit of God would fall on us and awaken us in ways and in our hearts where we feel sluggish or dull or far or distant from God. Bring yourself closer to us, and we give you the praise and we give you the glory this resurrection morning. And all God's people said, amen.
Well, this morning we'd like to share with you a choir cantata called Footsteps of Jesus. And these absolutely wonderful singers and wonderful speakers are going to deal with some of the biblical characters who really did follow in Jesus' footsteps. So we hope that this song and these words will help you to maybe follow in Jesus' footsteps a little bit. So please enjoy Footsteps of Jesus.
What a wondrous story indeed. It is a story told through the ages, a story amazing yet true. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth as a man to fulfill God's plan of redemption of mankind. See, he was born in a small Judean village of Bethlehem and spent his boyhood in Nazareth, perhaps learning the carpenter's trade from Joseph. After being baptized by John in the Jordan River, Jesus traveled the countryside teaching and ministering wherever he went. He walked down dusty roads, sailed across the stormy Sea of Galilee, and made his way through tiny villages and crowded cities. In his 3 years of public ministry, Jesus never went further than 70 miles from his hometown, Nazareth. Every step that he took led him closer to Calvary and his death on the cross. Even so, wherever he went, Jesus met the needs of the people he encountered. He healed the sick, made the lame to walk again, and the blind to see. He forgave sinners and taught the multitudes about the love of God and changed the lives who trusted him. We're going to see who those people are.
Sweet. Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. Come follow me, follow me.
I can remember when Jesus came to my town. Like most people who come to Jericho, Jesus was just passing through on his way to Jerusalem. It's a nice place to live, though. Jericho is. Nice weather, lots of trees, sort of like an oasis in the desert. We have lots of wealthy folks here with fine houses and good businesses. Why, even Herod has his winter palace here. When we got the news that Jesus was coming, it seemed like the entire population of the city came out to get a glimpse of him. We had heard stories about him and his teachings, and especially the miracles he could perform. Everyone, I mean everyone, wanted to see him. As he made his way through the crowds, Jesus stopped under a sycamore tree and called, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today." We were all horrified when we heard that. Zacchaeus was one of the most hated men in all of Jericho, a dishonest tax collector who had cheated just about everyone, and Jesus wanted to go to his house. As we mumbled to ourselves, a miracle occurred right before us. It wasn't like the ones we had heard about when people were healed of a physical infirmity. Zacchaeus was changed from the inside out. He stood before us and pledged to give half of his possessions to the poor and to repay four times the amount he had cheated from people. As we stood in stunned silence, Jesus explained that he had come for sinners, to seek them and to save them. That's when another miracle occurred. I realized that Zacchaeus wasn't the only sinner in Jericho. There was at least one more, and it was me.
Just a reminder, Children's Church is available. I apologize with the switch in service. We didn't get to make that announcement. So if you would like, Children's Church is available in the back room. Yeah, and you can be dismissed now if you would like.
Fishing to follow Jesus, I did not know where we were heading, only that I must follow this man and learn from him about God. For 3 years I walked with Jesus, becoming his friend Learning from him, I never realized. As we traveled together, we were on a path that would lead him to his death on the cross. The road to the cross took Jesus to Jerusalem, the city of David, the site of the magnificent temple, the center of worship for the Jewish people. It was always exciting to go to Jerusalem, but this time, Jesus entered like a king. People screaming, "Hosanna!" and waving palm branches. Later, in a borrowed upper room, Jesus celebrated the Passover with the 12 of us. During the meal, he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And as he gave it to us, he said, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Jesus led us to a garden where we had gathered often. Gethsemane is a beautiful and peaceful place on the Mount of Olives just outside the city. Within the grove of olive trees, Jesus agonized in prayer while we slept. All too soon, the quiet peace of the garden was shattered by the thundering footsteps of an angry mob led by Judas. Betrayed by a kiss from one of his closest followers, Jesus was arrested and led away to stand trial while we fled in fear for our own lives. Soon the same crowds that had cried Hosanna were screaming, "Crucify him." Jesus was beaten and mocked by the soldiers and then paraded through the streets carrying the cross that was to be the instrument of his death. He was the Son of God, the King of Kings, the one who held all power over heaven and earth. Yet he allowed himself to suffer such pain and humiliation. Each agonizing step toward Calvary was an act of love for those he came to save.
Jesus, with nails through his hands and feet, Jesus hung on the cross between two thieves until there was no breath or life left in him. His friends buried his lifeless body in a borrowed tomb, and a huge stone was rolled in to seal the burial place. Then we went away in sorrow, thinking that he was gone from us forever. There would be no more learning from the Master, no more rejoicing with those who were healed through his power. No more changed lives. But early Sunday morning, some of the other women and I returned to the tomb, only to find that the stone had been rolled away and the tomb was empty. How quickly our sorrow turned to joy when an angel spoke these words, "He is not here, for he has risen."
was risen. What wonderful news! I saw the empty tomb for myself. But even more amazing, I saw Jesus. For the next 40 days, Jesus appeared to groups of his followers at different times. I was there when he showed us his hands and feet where the nails had pierced his flesh. He even prepared food for us on the shore while we were out fishing. When at last it was time for Jesus to go into heaven, he left us with a command to go into all the world and make disciples. And we stood gazing into the sky. He was taken up into the clouds, but two men dressed in white appeared among us and assured us that Jesus would return someday. In the same fashion that he went up, suddenly I recalled words that Jesus had spoken to us earlier when he said that he would prepare a place for us in heaven and return someday for us. What comfort. Yes, the way to the cross had been full of suffering and sorrow, but the blood that Jesus shed there paid the price of sin once and for all for those who believe. Because of that cross, we not only have forgiveness, but also the promise of a home in heaven forevermore.
Did you enjoy that? Yeah. I certainly did. Grab a hymn book if you have one in front of you, or if there's one underneath you. 217, if you wouldn't mind. 217, we're going to sing one of the songs that they just sang. Christ the Lord is risen today, and stand with me. Christ the Lord is risen today. verse 3. And I want you to take notice of this. Love's redeeming work is done. I'm going to remind you about that phrase in a minute. Ready? Ready?
Love's redeeming work is done. Alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won. Alleluia.
Redeeming work is done.
Alleluia. Christ has opened paradise. Christ has led, alleluia, alleluia,
made like him we rise, alleluia, the cross,
the grave, the sky,
I really enjoyed that, Zach. Thank you. Thank you, choir. I really enjoyed that. It was a real enjoyment. And the reason why I enjoyed it so much is there's nothing more contagious than when you sing together as a family and rejoice around the things that you believe in. When we have those kinds of things, it brings excitement into our lives. I've got a question up on the screen for you. Do I know the meaning of Easter love? I mean, do you? You know, we sing every Easter that verse, love's redeeming, work is done. And when I sing those words, sometimes I have to admit I just sing them. And even though I like to sing them, do I really understand that question? Do I know the meaning of Easter love? Do I really understand what it means to love? We live in a world in the 1960s, and in fact it was 1965 during the Vietnam War, when all the political tensions were upset as to whether or not we should be in Vietnam. And I have some friends that were actually in Vietnam. They were soldiers. My uncle was in Vietnam, and his life was ruined by Agent Orange. When he came back, he had very, very difficult physical ailments, and he eventually died of cancer from it. And the thing that he told me he hated most was that people looked at the soldiers as they themselves were evil. Because why? Because some people, they have it in their minds what they think love is, and what they want love to be. And we have these definitions even in our world today of, I want to be loved, I want to be accepted, and I want to be approved for who I am. But the question I want to ask you is that really God's love for us? Is that really true love? And during the 1960s, there was a popular song that came out, and I shared this morning at our sunrise service. And it went like this, what the world needs now, do you remember that 60s song? What's the answer? Is love, sweet love. And you know, if you ever read the lyrics of that old song, the gal who sang that, it says, we don't need another mountain, because they were looking at life, God, don't bring mountains our way. Don't bring things that are hard. Don't bring things that are difficult for us, obstacles, things for us to overcome. We don't want that kind of love, God. And then the next verse says, we don't need more meadows. And that one's a little harder to understand, because a lot of us think that love is just getting things that we want. A lot of us don't want, we want happy lives, we want carefree lives. And if God doesn't give it to us that way, we think he's unloving. I mean, If Jesus truly is the resurrection and life, as it said in John 11, and he were to come to you and you were to ask him, if you love me, will you do this for me? And he doesn't, what would you think of Jesus? You would think he's unloving. Do you know that's how the world thinks Christians are? The Christians that they proclaim that we are to love God even as he loved us, and we understand what that means, but the world doesn't understand what that love means. And they come with this idea that love is only giving me things that make me feel good about myself, because we can't see life from God's perspective. In fact, if you have your Bibles, I just want to invite you to turn with me to, just for a moment, it's not going to be a full 40-minute message this morning, but I'd just like you to turn for a moment to John 11. And I want you to see the resurrection verses where Jesus says, I am, just like Jehovah from the Old Testament said, who am I? I am the great I am. He says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And what this world needs is not more love the way the world loves, but what this world really needs is the love the way God loves us. So as we are going through this time, I want you to be thinking about God's love for you and what it really means. And do I have the love of God in my heart that Jesus talked about? And in John 11, it was really interesting to kind of get us ready for the context of this story. Jesus said to his friends at the upper room, he said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That's the difference between what real love is, God's love, as compared to the world's love. Because the world just wants their own way. And the world wants you to accept them the way they are with all their faults. You know, sometimes I feel sad for people who they forgive others the way my grandkids forgive. I mean, I'm sitting there and poor Oliver, who's 5 now, he's playing and he, Pop, I want you to play with me. Well, little 3-year-old, Peter, we were discovering the names of our kids, our grandkids. Peter's name means what? Rock. So I got little Pete, and I said, you know, your name means rock. And then I got Oliver. His name means olive branch extended strong. Oliver, that's what Oliver means. Olive branch extended strong. And so we actually took the internet, and we looked up the picture of an olive tree so he could see what the olive trees look like. And he was happy with that because he likes to climb trees. But the kids are sitting there, and Oliver goes, I want you to myself. I want you to play with me, Pop-Up. And Peter right away, no, Pop-Up, you play with me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, to be so needed. Oh, it's so hard. But what happens is that they can't play together and get along. They have to get one of them gets a little pushy and one of them gets a little rambunctious and throws the car, hits the other one in the head, and then wah! That's what every grandparent must do. That's a cross we bear, right? Parents do the same thing. Cross we bear. And then we try to give him the lesson. You got to love one another. Now say you're sorry. And how does he say he's sorry?
I'm sorry.
That's real love. That's the world's love, folks. Yeah, that's the world's love. Try to remember that. That is the world's love. In fact, what I want us to see in John 11 is we want to see when Jesus' friend, whom he loved, died. In fact, it even says at the beginning that when Jesus heard word that Lazarus was sick, it says that it was Mary who anointed the feet of the Lord with the fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters, Mary and Martha, they sent word to Jesus saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And Do you know, even the disciples recognized that, that this guy was a friend of Jesus and very close. And if Jesus really loved Lazarus, he would come there right away. Nothing would stop him. I mean, he has healed every kind of sickness, just like our characters were sharing the miracles of Jesus, the Son of God. And why would Jesus wait? I mean, why would Jesus wait? But he did. He waited, not just one day, not just 2 days, but 3 days. How long is Jesus in the grave, incidentally? 3 days. So this time of silence and people not understanding is very much like what we celebrate on the Saturday before Easter morning. Everybody's wondering what's going to happen. If God really loved us, would he have died? Would he stay dead? Well, that's what they were saying about Jesus. If you really loved Lazarus, would you let him die? I mean, surely you love him. You wouldn't let a bad thing like that happen. But the Lord says to his disciples, he says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And all the disciples get together, and they didn't want Jesus to go because they were getting near Jerusalem, and they knew that the Passover was coming. And they knew that people were angry against Jesus, and they didn't want to see him die by going to save his friend whom he loved. I'm sure he had done it before. He'd healed from a distance. I'm sure he could have done that. But Jesus, without telling his disciples why, holds back a little bit. And you know what? His friend dies. And there Mary and Martha are left wondering, why didn't he come? I mean, if Jesus really loved, why didn't he come? And so they're wrapping his body and they're putting it into a tomb. And it wasn't done in the way that Jesus was put in a tomb. They took the time and they cried and they had the funeral. And they were having the funeral and wondering why Jesus isn't here. And they put the rock in front of the grave like they have in Jerusalem. And they seal it. And then they go back home and their lives are just filled with remorse. I mean, if Jesus loved us, why didn't he come? So I want you to be looking for God sightings in this story. As I just take you through the three things that Jesus does as he comes along. In John 11, verse 21, he comes along. Now, Martha hears that Jesus is coming, and she runs out to meet him. And it says in verse 21, now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Why? Lord, why? If you really loved us, why? And Jesus knows that something wonderful is going to happen that they don't even expect. They're not thinking about what the Lord is going to do. They're just sorrowful. You know, can I say that if you have a loved one who dies recently and the person has a very difficult time getting over that, will you let them? So I hate the fact that in our society we operate like you should be getting over this. Stop crying for them, okay? You don't have to. Because one of the things that we teach in our grief share ministry that we do is that you love someone to the, you grieve for someone to the depth that you love them. And I always think the more tears, the greater love. And there's just nothing wrong with that. I mean, we live in a society that says, nah, come on, stop it. Stop acting that way. Come on. But they don't understand the loneliness. They don't understand the hurt of having somebody who was so close to you, not with you anymore. They don't get ambushed by waking up in the morning and having missing just a smell or a remembrance, or someone will say a word that they said, and it just takes you back to that moment of grief. And we've got to learn how to love people. We've got to learn how to love people when they see loved ones die. We need to do better at that. And so he's there and she says, why? Why did you wait? Why did you wait? And I want you to look at the scriptures. Verse 23. I'm going to back it up. Now, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Verse 22, but even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give it you. In other words, Lord, I know. I know that I'm not even thinking straight, and you could probably do something I don't expect, and you could probably do something impossible. I know that you're the Son of God, and I know that you have a relationship with the Father, and I just know, but, and Jesus says in verse 23, hey, your brother will rise again. And Martha says those words again, I know, but you know what? I have to be honest with you. And this is where I'm going to ask you to think with me, not just what love is, but what your faith is like. And we're going to kind of do a faith checkup. The best way that I can describe this is this way. Modern technology has turned so much in the years that we've been born. Some of us are really, really uncomfortable with technology today. Anybody like that? You know, my kids keep telling me I'm in the horse and buggy days. Dad, you got to learn how to this and that and the other thing and Instagram and TikTok and Micmac, and I don't even know what all these things mean. And you know, my wife is so afraid of Facebook that people, strangers, will steal her information that she has for years put her false birthday. And she loves it because she gets birthday wishes before her birthday for a whole week before her birthday actually comes up. But it makes the relatives frustrated because my sisters and others, they forget when her birthday is and they see it on Facebook and then they're kicking themselves. Oh, I forgot your birthday. I'm really sorry. And Lori's like, if I tell them now, they're going to be mad at me, you know. So, you know, it's a kind of a two-edged sword, that technology stuff. But, you know, if I were to tell you what kind of guy I am, this is the kind of guy I am. I'm an Etch-a-Sketch guy living in a Facebook world. Does anybody know what I mean? Okay, Etch-a-Sketch. You know what Etch-a-Sketch is like. Yeah, that was that little red board thing that you would twist the dials around and you would... And I found this article that completely answers my questions. If only our problems could be solved with an Etch-a-Sketch. In fact, if you ever see, when I was a kid, if we had problems, we would just call the Etch-a-Sketch hotline to figure out what to do. For example, my Etch-a-Sketch has funny lines all over the screen. What do I do? And the answer is, pick it up and what? Shake it! Well, I call the Etch-a-Sketch hotline. How do I turn off my Etch-a-Sketch? Pick it up. What? Shake it. Help me out here. You can help me by just going pick it up and shake it, okay? What's the shortcut to undo the mistake that I put on my Etch-a-Sketch? Pick it up. Shake it. How do I create a new document in my Windows? Pick it up. Shake it. What's the proper procedure for rebooting my Etch-a-Sketch? Pick it up. Shake it. I love this. How do I delete a document on my Etch-a-Sketch? Pick it up. Shake it. How do I save my Etch-a-Sketch? Don't pick it up and shake it. I got you on that one. But you know, a lot of us feel like we are Etch-a-Sketch kind of guys or people living in a Facebook world today. And there's nothing wrong with Facebook. It's just a tool, just like the Etch-a-Sketch. There's nothing wrong with that. But we've got to recognize, too, that we are living in different times. We're living in a different kind of world. And so is your faith more Etch-a-Sketch or is your faith in Christ Facebook? I really was thinking about this, and the reason why I was thinking about this is for the very reasons that my kids always rebuke me, because every time I do something wrong with my phone or computer, guess what I do? I pick it up and shake it, and it doesn't change. But at the same time, I'm not saying that Facebook is bad or anything, but it made me think a little bit. So this is what I kind of might get back. For Facebook people, you might have a Facebook faith if you take pictures of your food and post it online for people to see. Hint, nobody wants to see that. You might have a Facebook faith if you try to gather likes and dislikes and it causes you to think, Well, that's my acceptance for the day. If you have more dislikes, well, how are you going to feel? You might have a Facebook faith. If you take photos and pin them on a board to let the world know how you want and wish your dreams of the ultimate wedding and marriage to be. You might be a Facebook Christian if you unfriend people without forgiving them. In fact, you can unfriend people without even facing them or talking to them. You might be a Facebook Christian if you worry more about who's following you, even when you're not outside and actually walking down the street. You might be a Facebook Christian if you try to find new ways to keep in touch using TikTok, Instagram, and subscribe to meeting sites, but don't actually knock on a person's door, and you don't actually visit them face to face. You might be a Facebook Christian if you fix up your photos with highlighters and filters so people don't see how messy you are or your blemishes. You hide what you really feel from people, and because you don't want total strangers to see how messy your room is, so you blur your Zoom. I meet with some pastors and we pray, and the first time that I figured out that I could change the background when I was Zooming them, it was the day that we had that really bad storm, and I put a picture of Hawaii behind me. And I put on a Hawaiian shirt, and they were like, "Where are you?" And I'm like, "Oh, it's just a wonderful day on the beach." And if you looked out the window, we were this deep of snow. I mean, it was, you can really fool people. You might be a Facebook Christian if you share your feelings just by learning how to send emojis. You know, you have to know smiley face, heart, and thumbs up. But you don't actually share your emotions. You might be a Facebook Christian if you don't let you develop the habit that I can stay at home and not go to church anymore. It saves you in time from embarrassment, ironing your clothes, and putting on your makeup. In fact, you don't have to go to work anymore. You can sit at home in your underwear as long as you keep the camera waist high. Nobody knows. You might have a Facebook faith if you don't go shopping in public anymore. We've got DoorDash, and we've got drive-thrus, and we don't have to interact with people anymore. We can call them and they can bring our groceries to us. And again, I'm just funning this. I'm not putting that down. If you have a real need, because someone told me that they have such a back problem that some one of you has been a good Christian with active faith and doing that for them. That you've been going and getting their groceries and bringing it back for them. And I just want to say that's good faith. That's good faith. So don't misunderstand where I'm going with this. You might be a Facebook Christian if you really don't believe in cash anymore. You simply swipe your phone. And when you see a penny on the ground, you don't know what it is. You can't even say, "Find a penny, have good luck, pick it up." And, you know, we used to do that when we were kids. My grandfather used to go around fishing his fingers in every public phone. And he'd come home with $3 in his pocket every day. I mean, we don't understand things like that anymore. What kind of faith do you have? You can listen to any preacher in the world. So you find ones that don't bore you or have anything to do with knowing who you are. And in fact, it's really good because you're never going to see them in public and you're never going to feel guilty because they know that you're not going to church. I mean, you compare yourself with other people for what they're doing, and it really causes you more anxiety and envy, and you don't realize that you're giving in to laziness, and you don't realize that you're cutting yourself off from other people. That what Facebook does is it kind of puts this glass distance between you and the real you. And if we have that kind of faith, it's not good faith. That's what I call dead faith. James talks about that. The kind of faith that we deceive ourselves with in James chapter 1. The kind of faith that doesn't live out and work. It's a faith that just comes off our lips. I believe in God. Yes, I know him. So back to Mary. Mary's there, and she's in pain. And she says, "I know. I know that you're going to raise him from the dead." And Jesus says to her, "No, You don't understand. Martha, Martha, look at me. He didn't really say that, but he said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And she is busy looking at that empty tomb, or I mean the tomb with her brother in. She's busy looking at her feelings and her anguish. Her eyes are up in the sky, and she's looking around, but she's not seeing who Jesus really is, because Jesus is going to do a miracle. He's going to do something that he's never done before. So Martha has kind of like a faith that's hidden. What kind of faith do you have? You might have a faith, but it's all-knowing, and it's not living. You might have a faith that doesn't know how to serve others. You can talk about loving people, and you can try to love people, but it's like Facebook. You're just throwing out emojis, and you're really not interacting with them. You really don't love them. You're really not talking to them. You're just keeping a distance. Your faith is introverted. Your faith is slow and dying and choked, and it's not real. It's not refreshing. Your faith hasn't come face to face with Jesus yet. And that's not the kind of love and faith that we want to have. And so now Mary, the one who was at Jesus' feet, remember, where her sister was complaining about her, and, Lord, you tell her to get over here and do the dishes with me. I'm working for the Lord. But Mary was the one that was at his feet. She's listening. And it says in the Bible here that when he calls her, she comes and she says to Jesus, Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But she doesn't do it the same way Martha did. She didn't do it with the knowing. I know you're a good God. I know. But she just starts to weep and cry. And we get to the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus, all he says to her is he gives her comfort and he weeps with her. And the people around her are like, wow, he really loved Lazarus. Because they could see by his face-to-face love, by his face-to-face service, that he really loved. You know, so often we are needing in our faith to come face-to-face with what our faith really is. We need to stop hiding behind screens, and we need to stop hiding things behind people and allow ourselves to be open up so that Jesus can use us in our lives so that we can serve others. But this is the best part. So Jesus gets to the grave, and he walks up to the grave, and he says, I want you to move the stone away. Now their faith is really tested. Because Martha, first thing, she knows who God is. She knows God can do anything. But the thing she says, and I love it in the King James, but Lord, he stinketh. I mean, you don't want to move that stone. I mean, woo! Don't want to do that. But Jesus has the stone moved away. And he just looks up into the grave and he says, Lazarus. And I think he had to say the name Lazarus, because if he just said, come forth, I think everyone dead in those graveyards would all come out, because he's that powerful. But he says, Lazarus, come forth. And so he comes out alive. And every time, I mean, can you imagine what it would have been like to be Lazarus? To come back to life, and he's like, this is, I think he knew before the cross more than anybody what Jesus was going to do. When he kept saying, I'm going to die, and in a week's time, I'm going to die and be crucified, but I'm going to rise again. I think Lazarus was like, oh, God, I know the inside joke. I know it. It's not a joke. It's real. I believe. I mean, every time Lazarus walked through that graveyard, that's where I was. How many of you can say that? That I was dead. I was in the ground. Lazarus is kind of like us when we come to our salvation in Christ. We are dead in our trespasses and sins, and there's no hope for us. And Jesus, he calls you out of your deadness and your sin, and he gives you life. And what a great story of resurrection and life before the cross. Why does God do that? Because he wants us. He wants us to have a faith that is an active response to God's word. Not just a knowing faith, not just a Facebook appearance of faith. He wants us to have a face-to-faith kind of faith. We know Jesus, we've met him in our life, and we're going to live for him. That's the kind of faith he wants us to have. It's not about being a Facebook techie person or an Etch-a-Sketch person. It's about a faith that is face-to-face. So how is your faith this morning? Where are you at? Are you struggling? Are you near away? Incidentally, those two pictures are Etch-a-Sketch pictures of Jesus. The one on the right is an actual picture that somebody rendered with an Etch-a-Sketch. I can't do that, but I can tell you something. You can show that kind of Jesus reality in your life through loving others as he loved you. And you actually get in touch with people's lives, and you actually touch them, and you actually embrace them. When Lazarus came out of that tomb, Martha and Mary didn't just go, oh, I'm going to post this. Isn't that great? No, they threw their arms around him. There was an acceptance. There was a love. We all are like Lazarus, and maybe you're like that in your life. Maybe you don't have a closeness to God in your life. Maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe it's because you know everything about who Jesus is, but you've never accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior. So I want to give you an invitation. I want to give you an invitation this morning that you can look to Jesus and that you can take some time with him. And it's as simple as this. Do you know, when we welcomed our Charlie home yesterday, we knew that the boys were going to go home and they were going to be able to put their arms around Charlie. We didn't tell them because we were asked not to. We were asked to just, you know, keep telling them something exciting is going to happen. And of course, with our grandkids, they're like, what? Are you going to give us candy? No. Are we gonna do another egg hunt? No. What? You are going to meet someone who's going to change your life. You're going to actually put your arms around your brother Charlie. Well, we didn't say it, but we were thinking it. And then when later that night we got these pictures, Laura and I are sitting on the, we're sitting on the couch and we're weeping. I can't even show. We got 100 pictures of the boys and they're kissing them and they're wrapping their arms around Charlie. Because Charlie's a miracle. He wasn't supposed to be born. And God brought him to life and raised him up in a world that wants to take the lives of little ones. Listen, you live in a world and you want love from the Lord. And I can tell you that the love that God offers you is not, I accept you. Yes, he does accept you for the things in your life or the things that you struggle with or where you're at. He always accepts you. But he wants to change you. He doesn't want to leave you there. He wants to take, not only just forgive you of your sin, he wants to transform you into a new person. And that's what being a Christian is all about. And you say, well, what do I have to do that? Well, it's more than just knowing. It's more than just knowing, yes, there is a God who made you, and he did. And it's more than just a God who wants to be near you and loves you, and he does. But you have to receive it. You have to receive him. You have to wrap your arms around him in a faith that's real faith. Not a Facebook, at a distance, know about Jesus. That's a dead faith. It's a, I'm live and personal. And maybe today is the day where he's going to be live and personal in your life. So are you discouraged right now? Are you feeling like, Lord, I hear all these crazy believers around me praising the Lord and saying amen and Jesus is alive and that's great. But what is he to me? Well, Jesus, he died for you and he forgave you. And do you know if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, that he does so much for your life. He does more than just heal you. He does more than just love you. But he changes you and he gives your life meaning. And it's not all happiness. Because you're going to have some problems, and he doesn't make your problems go away. but he loves you. And I pray this morning that you really hear him calling to you. And this is what you do. You just pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm far from you. I've never done this before, but I'm doing it now in the bottom of my heart. With all of my heart, I'm asking you, forgive me of my sin and come into my life. Jesus, I thank you that you not only love me and accept me with all the mess ups and everything that I do, because we have to admit that we're sinners. I mean, you can't really be saved from anything unless you admit your sin. And you say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin and come into my life. And listen, I'm telling you, he does more than just come into your life. He has given you everlasting life. That's why we get so excited, because he's going to take us to live with him forever. If we die and we go the long way through the grave, we'll meet him in heaven. But we're praying that he'll come and take us the short way. It's called a rapture. And he promises in the end of time, in the end of days, when the world is as bad as it's getting and it can be the worst that it's ever been, that he's going to come for us. That's what rapture is. And if you're here this morning and you know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, do you believe? I mean, do you really believe? Will you believe this morning? Our gracious Father, we praise you and thank you that you are our resurrection. You are our life. We ask, Lord, that you would just come to our lives right now. And we who have already received you as our Lord and Savior, Father, help us have living, real, loving others' faith. Help us to stop being so inward focused and so selfish in the way that we love or want to be loved. Help us to have a faith that has more courage. Some of us are afraid. Some of us are afraid to tell others about Jesus or even about what Jesus has done for us. Father, help us this Easter to have a courageous faith, a growing faith, an active faith, more than just a knowing faith, but as believers that we would have a growing and face-to-face faith with others, even those that are our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we can get pretty pitying on ourselves and, well, nobody loves me and nobody takes care of me, but we don't think to look at somebody else who might have a problem and let God use us in that way. So make our faith living faith and real faith. And then for those that are here that need to trust in Christ as Savior, Father, I pray that this is the day of salvation for them. We love you, Lord. We thank you. And we thank you that we are going home. Thank you, Father, as the Gaithers taught us to sing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future. Life's worth the living. Just because he lives. Let's stand and let's sing.
God sent his son. Thank you.
here for the first time and you visited with us, I have a special gift that I would like to give you. Out on this table out here, we have a long table that I only have about five of these left, but if you're visiting with us, it's a first-time visitor. This is a book called Bible Promises for You. And what it is it's alphabetical, and you can open it up to a topic of, I need quietness or rest. I'm struggling with security. I'm struggling with strength. I'm struggling with prayer. I'm struggling with honesty. I'm struggling with things that I need. I need courage. And what it does is it has verses in here that you can read. And it says, be strong and take heart, and all you who hope in the Lord. Or when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. And I want you to take one of these home if you're visiting with us as a gift from us here at PCBC so that you can learn to put your faith in the promises of God and maybe help some people that need your help. And remember to take this with you and do more than just know about Jesus. But if you haven't given your heart to Jesus, but you did today, would you tell somebody, maybe the person that you're visiting with? We'd like to know. We'd like to be praying for you. We'd like to see you grow in your faith. And that's what we're all about, because God is doing exciting things in our lives. So, great Father, we thank you that we don't live by fear. And we don't live by the things of the world. We thank you that life is worth the living because you come and join into our lives so that we can live with you face to face. Faith to faith. And it's in Jesus' name we praise you. Amen. You're dismissed.